Today on Focus on the Family, Ken Davis offers some observations about the behavior of sheep.
They follow each other. They're stupid. One sheep does something, the rest of them do it. They crowd into a corner. Pretty soon they'll die from suffocation. They all get in there. It's a crowd. It's a party. Let's join them. They're just right there. We're not like that.
Well, or are we like that? That's the question we'll answer on today's Focus on the Family. Hi, I'm Bill Lewis, and today we'll hear a program originally broadcast during the summer, but whatever season it may be, wherever you are, I think you're really going to enjoy this fun program. Here now is Focus President Jim Daly and program co-host John Fuller.
Summer is in full swing, and I'm enjoying it. The boys, Gene and I, we're camping and having great times. I think we do more belly laughing during the summer than at any other time. And with that in mind, I thought it was a great idea to jumpstart this week with a dose of humor.
Well, we have a lighthearted message from Ken Davis. He's an author, he's a motivational speaker, and he teaches speaking skills to professionals and corporate executives. And with that, here's Ken Davis speaking at a praise gathering event several years ago on today's Focus on the Family.
My message this morning is entitled Super Sheep. To give you a general idea of what this message is about, you have to understand that I have struggles when I read this book. I see reality. Jesus had real blood running through his veins. These disciples, I don't know what it is. A lot of folks tend to look at the disciples and they look at them and say, well, if I could just be like a disciple, maybe I could be a good Christian. These were ornery men. These were men and women who lived in that day just like you and I. They faced all kinds of problems. And Super Sheep is a message about how the Bible compares us to sheep that just made me furious. I grew up on a farm, I met sheep. They can't even run right. You ever read the Word of God and find something that just comes home to you and you look to see if you can find it disproven somewhere else? You just want to find something that's a little more comfortable? You don't want to be a sheep. Any farmers here? If you've had sheep, these folks will tell you when sheep run, and it's a disgusting run. I just hate it. When they run, they don't bend their feet. They just kind of... they give their hoofs a little, kind of a geeky little flip like that and they run. Sheep. You never see sheep as a mascot for anything. So I started looking through the Bible, came to Psalms. What a beautiful, oh, I loved Psalms. And there were sheep. Psalms was infested with sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He maketh me to lie down in green. This is sheep stuff. Lying down, green pastures, munching on stuff. That's for sheep. I want something else. I went to the back. They have a thing in the back where you can look up words. I'm rummaging for German shepherd. I want something here that has power. German, there's no German shepherd. The word German doesn't even appear in the book. Shepherd, I found every place I looked it said, you're sheep. I could not believe it. And then my eyes fell on the word lion. That's what I want to be. Oh, I knew I was going to enjoy this. I savored every moment. I turned the pages slowly. Because if God gives me a choice, I don't want to be a geeky, can't-run-right sheep. I want to be a lion. Lion has independence. Lion doesn't need a lot of support. Sheep needs support. You got to be there. Oh, poor sheep. You got to look where you're. There, we got to save your life. There you go. Go lie down in a green pasture. Is the water too rough? There, I'll spill it for you. There. Lion don't care. Give me some waves. I wanted something that had some aggression to it, see? I turned and found the lion verse. Do you know what it said? The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. not fair. Have you ever talked to God like this? You say, no, I respect God. Come on. God can see right to the base of our hearts. I think one of the problems is we try to fake out God just like we try to fake each other out. That's why I love David. My bones are dry. They're like dust. I think it's why God liked David. God, this is not fair. You give us sheep, the sheep thing, and you give the devil the lion thing. That is not fair. That makes the devil so strong and that makes us so weak. This is not fair. I didn't like this verse. I thought, I'm going to the New Testament. It's newer. Maybe this Old Testament is out of date or something, and I can find in the New Testament. And I began to read in Matthew, oh, this marvelous account of our Lord. And then I found red letters, and my eyes could not believe what I was reading. I am your shepherd. You are my sheep. In red. No. I don't want to be a sheep. Lord, sheep, why would you compare us to a sheep? It isn't fair. Now, you see, you laugh at this, but the truth of the matter is it sounds tragic. What I want to say to you this morning, that there are three reasons, basically, that we need to grab a hold of Jesus with all of our strength, that we need to love him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our might. We need to allow him to control our lives. And one of the reasons is that we live in a turbulent world that is far beyond our power, where Satan walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We desperately need the Lord. The second reason we desperately need the Lord is we're out there like sheep. We are not like some knight in shining armor. We are like sheep. It's all through the scriptures. This made me angry. I started to argue with God. I said, Lord, we're not like sheep. I can run pretty decent. Sheep are weird, Lord. I don't want to be a sheep. I started arguing. Sheep follow each other around. We lost a bunch of sheep one time. I saw it happen. Most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. After that, I had even less respect than I had in the beginning for the sheep. They were running along. There was a sheep out in the lead, and he was doing his little thing with his hooves, looking just really stupid. All the other sheep were falling behind, and he made a left and went over a precipice. It was about a 50-foot drop, and he died. All the rest of the sheep went, and they followed him, and about 12 sheep lost their lives going over this precipice. They follow each other. They're stupid. One sheep does something, the rest of them do it. They crowd into a corner. Pretty soon they'll die from suffocation. They all get in there. It's a crowd. It's a party. Let's join it. They're just right there. We're not like that. Sheep get lost easy. You turn your back, they're history. You got to spend all night looking for them. We're not like that. They get into trouble. Constantly. They're always into trouble. Stuck somewhere. Upside down. One sheep we almost lost. It got upside down. Couldn't get right side up. It's laying in the horse trough upside down. All we saw was four legs sticking out. Stupid hooves. I said to Daddy, let him die. Something that stupid doesn't deserve to live. We're not like that. We're not like that. You don't find us going, oh, let's find a horse trough and then we'll get backwards in there. Have you ever come face to face with the stench of sin and said, I'll never do that again, and then found yourself there again? Have you ever found yourself like I have? Understanding the beautiful truth that Jesus died on the cross so that our sins might be buried in the depths of the deepest sea. And you're out there with a rowboat and a long fishing line. Fishing for death. Okay. So, did we follow each other around and we, you know, we get in trouble. But sheep are chicken. I'm going to tell you something as a result of knowing sheep. There is no animal more chicken than the chicken itself. No animal. Sheep or chicken. Our horse used to kill sheep. He'd scare them to death. He didn't mean to do it. He didn't sit in his stall and go, ah, I'm going to kill you sheep. I think what happened was in his little horse mind, he'd see the sheep running across the field and go, whoa, Nerf ball. Because with a couple of sheep that he killed, we caught him chasing the sheep across the pasture and tipping them over. Lightning would strike. Sheep would die. Oh, a loud noise. And they would die. Lightning would strike or thunder would come and they'd get in groups. They were so scared and smother each other to death. They're scared. We're not like... Number one excuse for not trusting Jesus Christ. I'm afraid. Number one. Now that is usually followed by what my friends will think. That may be followed by what will happen to my job. That may be followed by I'm afraid that I can't live up to what God expects. I got good news for you on that one. You can't. That's why Jesus came. I got on a bus one time, said a stupid prayer. You ever say stupid prayers? Stupid prayers are like this. God, if you want me to share Christ with somebody, give me a sign. I prayed that as I was getting on a bus, leaving Bible Institute to go home. Give me a sign. I'm going to tell you something before I go any further. There's all a sign you need. The sign's already been delivered, sealed and delivered. There's all a sign you need. You don't need to ask God to give you a sunset in reverse. You don't need to ask Him to make a fleece wet on one side and multicolored on the other side. There is all the sign you need. But evidently God is a patient God, and sometimes He answers these prayers. I sat down in that bus, a man sat down next to me, an absolute true story, began to weep uncontrollably. I have already forgotten my prayer. I'm just uncomfortable that there's a grown man sitting next to me weeping uncontrollably. I sat and stared straight ahead. In those cases, you never look toward the individual, you just look straight ahead, especially when you're chicken like I am. Some of the people whose confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ with them might have turned to Him and said, is there anything I can do? I'm sorry. Are you? But not me. I'm looking straight ahead. I do not want to make a mistake here. I don't want to get into any trouble. The man stopped weeping and then he said, sir, to me, sir. I turned. He said, young man, I am sorry. I was young at that time. He said, I am sorry. He said, I'm sorry for losing my composure. He said, if only I knew God. And he told me about this life, and then he concluded with, if only I knew God. And then he looked me directly in the eye, and he said, do you know God? I said another silent prayer. Dear God, would this be a sign? Is this a sign? God, if this is a sign, turn the bus driver into an armadillo for me. Don't mess with God. You'll be looking up there. That bus driver will be going, afraid to share Christ because afraid of what our friends will think. Afraid that they might terminate the friendship. Afraid, afraid, afraid. Oh, Lord. They die easy. We can't run right. Follow each other around. But remember what our horse did, God? Sheep die easy. I killed a sheep. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't sit in the house once and go, kill me a sheep. I was angry at the sheep. His name was Herman. I was going underneath the fence with two buckets of water to put water in the trough for Herman and his fellow sheep. And Herman came running at me and he butted me into the fence. It was a barbed wire fence, electric barbed wire fence. I dumped the water on the ground. I was standing in water, tangled in the barbed wire fence. I invented a new kind of dancing right there on the spot. When I finally got myself untangled from that fence, I was laying on the ground, desperately breathing. They had electricity that would burn off weeds running through this fence. I looked up, and I swear that Herman was smiling. I could see it. shook my fist at Herman. The next day I was walking in the barnyard and I saw Herman walking along the edge of the barn. Quickly I moved out of sight and moved up next to the corner where I knew Herman would come out. I have to tell you, before I even finish this story, some of you aren't going to believe this. It's as true to my memory as I can remember. My father doesn't believe it. I moved up to the edge. I looked for something to hit Herman with, just to pay him back. He bought me into the fence. There was nothing there. There was nothing. No boards. I couldn't lift the barn. And I had no time to do anything. I could hear him panting, him getting closer, his little footsteps, and then there came his ugly little head, stuck his head out. He didn't see me, just got his head out. And then he froze, and I went, "Ah!" And he died. Herman died. You ask my father to verify this story today, he'll go, because I told my father the same story. My father said, "What happened to Herman?" "Dad, I went boo and he died." "Now you hit that sheep. You hit him? What'd you do with that sheep?" "No, Dad. It wasn't a little, it was a big boo. I was just boo and he died." My father's 70 years old. We went home for Christmas a couple of years ago. My dear father, someday I get a chance to tell you how God has healed some of the things that are in our family. My dad, who was never an affectionate person, put his arms around me at the end of that Christmas time and he hugged me tight and he said, "I love you." He said, "Come with me into the kitchen." I went into the kitchen and my father, his wizened face and thinning hair, took me by the shoulders. I'm 45 years old and he pushed me away at arm's length and he said, "Son, what happened to her?" At 45, I'm going, "He died, Dad. It was a real big boo that I did." See, God, the sheep die easy. Not us. In the last several years, so many of my friends have died. Some of them haven't died physically. They've just died. Satan has found a way to get a claw into their life. It breaks your heart. And I start thinking, yeah, but I'm a tough sheep. And I open the door and the lion is there. When you name the name of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God begins to move unbelievably in your life, the lion waits. Usually we're pretty good at messing things up on our own. But when God begins to take hold on our lives, the lion waits and we find that we die easy. I'm a tough sheep. Those words don't go together. Don't need God. Yes, you do. The secular world accuses us of using Christianity as a crutch. Little do they know, they're right. We are a generation of people crippled by sin, and what a beautiful crutch we have. And without Him, we can only lie in our own disability and die. We desperately need Him. We need to be driven, friends, to a daily, minute-by-minute relationship with Jesus Christ. And please understand the word "we." Each of us brings our own heartaches to this room and we recognize our desperate need for something beside what the world has to offer, even those who are closest to us. We are sheep. We are desperate for a shepherd. You see the little sheep that goes like this. I can't even picture that. Picture this. A bunch of little sheep running along in the valley. One is lagging behind. Weighs maybe 22 pounds. Up on the hill behind a rock is a lion that hasn't eaten for 3, 4.5 years. And he is starved. He sees that little sheep. He's lagging slightly behind. Not a serious thing. He's just let his guard down momentarily. The lion jumps out from behind the rock and begins to run down the hill, tearing up huge pieces of turf with his claws, saliva dripping into his mane, his eyes agleam with hatred and desire. He leaps into the air and just feet from the little sheep lets go with a roar. Roar! it shakes the mountainside and the little sheep looks up. That little sheep has two options. Option number one, fight. Not a good option. I can't even picture. Come on. Only one more option left. Run! Not away. To. Where? The shepherd. Because here's the beauty, the miracle of the whole thing, perhaps your first understanding of why the title exists the way it does. When you take a little geeky, can't run right, look funny, smell funny, need dip, run away, hide, get in trouble, die easy, chicken sheep. And you take that little geeky, can't run right, die easy, chicken, run away, get in trouble sheep, and you put it together with a relationship with the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, you got a new creature. A super sheep. You still look weird. But you can fly. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. Not the power of my own hooves. Not by the wool on my back. Not by hunting out some psycho-dip person. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let me show you the beauty, the real beauty and hope of this message. I turned once more back to these wonderful passages and I read this. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul says, in all these things, in spite of all of this kind of pain that we may face, we are more than conquerors. That's a sheep. Not by himself. You cannot short-circuit this. You can't decide to be a super sheep and go home and just face those problems. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You get broken bootstraps, that's it. You tell me this book is dead. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. Do you get the impression that Paul is trying to include a lot of stuff there? No, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are driven to him because we live in a world of sin, more powerful and deadly than any of us can face by ourselves. We are driven to him because we are not out there like some lone ranger, like a superhero. We're out there like a helpless little sheep. And we are driven to him because in him we can say, hey, I'm with him. I'm a super sheep. Leave me alone. God bless.
With that wonderful encouragement, we come to the end of an outstanding presentation by Ken Davis on today's Focus on the Family. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. Thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
Well, Ken Davis certainly knows how to get an audience laughing, and I was laughing along today as he compared us to sheep. When he spoke about how a sheep becomes super simply by knowing the shepherd personally, it really brought home the truth of our dependency on Christ. And that's exactly where Christ wants us, fully dependent on him. And the resource we're recommending today is by Leslie Leyland Fields, and it's called Crossing the Waters. At a time when so many are unfollowing Jesus and walking away from the church, Crossing the Waters offers a fresh encounter with Christ and explores what it really means to follow Him. You can request it when you call us or find it on our website at safamily.co.za. And while you're there, I highly recommend checking out Thrive Media, our very own streaming platform. We're loading it up with amazing church and small group curriculum, documentaries, kids entertainment, and more. There's some fantastic Christian worldview content, including a phenomenal new Bible study called RVL Discipleship. So please do take a moment to explore Thrive Media. Just click the media button on our website at safamily.co.za. I hope that you were encouraged by today's program. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you to join us again next time as we hope to help you and your family thrive in Christ.